Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency, where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
KFI AM 640. You're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
All right. Well, if you're just tuning in, a decision was made by a jury in New York City to award a woman who accused Donald Trump of rape $5 million. Her name is E. Jean Carroll. They did not find Trump liable for rape, but for sexually abusing her and also defamation. And their decision came to almost $5 million against the Trumpster, I'm sure will appeal this civil trial verdict. We got a lot to get to this hour, including more news on the fentanyl poisoning scourge. And that's what we should call it now. It's poisoning. All right. This idea of it being OD, not really. A lot of people that are ingesting the drug don't know they're taking fentanyl. They're trying to take something else. And the fentanyl dose is too strong and kills them. We're going to begin, though, by talking about what could be happening in a couple of days. On Thursday, May 11th, Title 42 officially expires. That's the public health order instituted back in 2020 when Trump was president to turn away many of the migrants because of COVID-19 concerns. There was a back and forth on this with the courts for years, and eventually Biden took over and wanted to do away with it, and then the courts kept it in place for a bit, but now it will officially end on May 11th, along with the COVID-19 national emergency. So what does this mean for the border? We heard months ago that when Title 42 expires, there's going to be a big surge of migrants because the word gets to those countries that the U.S. does not have that reason to expel you immediately anymore. And it doesn't matter whether or not it applies to you or doesn't. It's a garbled word. The smugglers
distort
it. Right.
The cartels are actually sending messages out on everybody's social media. So every single person in Central and South America know what's going on. There's right. Nobody who doesn't know what's going on. If you have a TV or you have a phone, you've gotten the word by now.
All right. So we're going to bring on Steve Gregory, who's been checking out this story, too, from the perspective of the Border Patrol.
Yeah.
And how confident they are when this surge may begin later this week. Steve?
And you remember, guys, when I first got here to KFI in 05, I was thrown knee-deep into immigration immediately.
Yes, I do remember.
And because I was covering it for the company in Phoenix for 5 years. And the one thing that I think people don't understand, and to what you guys were just talking about, how the messaging is getting out there, is that the cartels actually own travel agencies, and they use those as fronts. And what they do is they sell smuggling services through the front of a travel agency. So people will come into the front door of a travel agency, and what they're doing is trying to get expedited transportation across the border. That's how sophisticated the smugglers are, the cartels are, when it comes to convincing these people that how simple, how easy, and how rewarding it is to be smuggled into the United States. And they take out full-page ads in newspapers. I remember covering that. And my colleague Oswaldo Reyes at KMEX, he had those newspapers. We saw those ads. They were running radio spots in South America and Central America, encouraging everyone to come to the border and how easy it was to get in. So this notion that somehow the United States government has gone down there to stop all of this, it's not happening. And the tens and tens of millions of dollars they've been spending on some sort of counteractivity or sort of, you know, counter-marketing move, that's not working at all. They don't trust the U.S.'s ad campaigns. They trust the people in their own country. And that's why they prey on that.
Yeah, I mean, and they're we talked yesterday with somebody from the Center for Immigration Studies who said once a family member or a friend gets over the border and sends back selfies,
yeah,
that is the best advertising of all, because now you've got a contact and he's showing you, look, I made it and this looks like a good place to live.
But as we've all been, you know, as we all know, and what I've been covering for many years is there's a really, really dangerous and deadly underbelly to all of this as well. But that's more for another day. Let's get to the Border Patrol as they prep for what's going on. But there's also other entities down there near the California-Mexico border that are faced with some potential problems. Hospitals, for instance. It looks like now the hospitals are having to share duties, and they're taking two-week rotations down in the San Diego area in order to take on migrants, because the largest amount of injuries are falls from coming over the fence, cuts and scrapes as they try to sneak through the fence or through the barbed wire area, dislocated ankles and broken bones as they try to navigate through some of the treacherous canyons. And when they get to U.S. soil, obviously Border Patrol takes them and puts them on an ambulance or airlifts them to the hospital. And the hospitals, which are already overrun with just all kinds of medical problems coming post-COVID, and now they're having to figure out this rotation system where, well, for 2 weeks, Catholic Charities is going to take on all the migrant patients. Then the next 2 weeks, it's going to be Providence. And the next 2 weeks, that's how they have to deal with it down there to spread it out. That's how bad it's getting. And they're already declaring like an emergency operation center to handle the medical calls.
There's no limit to the chaos that the federal government's willing to put up with. The local towns are overloaded,
sure,
right? You have El Paso, Brownsville, the mayors are screaming that we can't handle all the people living in the streets. The governors are shipping thousands of migrants up to Chicago and New York. And then those cities in turn are shipping the migrants to suburban towns
right
outside of Chicago and New York. And it's completely out of control, but nobody wants to do anything about it.
And now the Border Patrol, it's interesting in this, just this last year, I've noticed a more aggressive approach from the San Diego sector in terms of being more transparent about what's really going on down there. For the longest time, we were kept in the dark. We couldn't get any callbacks. We couldn't get any ride-alongs. We couldn't get anyone to do interviews. We couldn't get any of this stuff done. And now they're getting very aggressive by saying, here's what's happening. This is what's going on. Of course, they fortified the border. They're welcoming the federal troops down there. Now, California, if you remember back in 2010, when Schwarzenegger sent down the National Guard, Texas and Arizona have already deployed their own National Guard on top of the federal troops. California has not done that yet.
But aren't they all working as concierge clerks?
Well,
to process people? Nobody's really actively stopping a significant number.
Well, yeah, because the Border Patrol are really the only entities that can physically arrest and detain and remove and return. The National Guard, they're not trained for any of that kind of stuff. And the one thing that Congress and members of Congress don't want is that image of armed military along the border, because then you get into the posse comitatus situation and you get into all kinds of other issues. So, but it's interesting to me because when Schwarzenegger... we were the first state in the union to send National Guard to the border. And now we will probably be the last to send our own troops down there. The feds will have some troops down there, and they won't tell us how many for security reasons. But you're right, John. When they get down there, they will be administrative.
They're all working computer terminals. They're filling out forms.
And
they're processors.
And it
makes me nuts because I can't go 5 minutes without seeing, you know, a graphic on cable news. It's like a National Guard,
military
being sent to the border.
Right.
It's like, stop it. They're sending clerks.
Right. Well, that's because then the border agents that are at the terminals now, then they can get up and get out to the line. That's the idea.
Right. But they're also doing processing at the border. If somebody says asylum, you get the asylum paperwork.
Well, see, those are customs agents. So the border agents themselves are the ones that are going to physically be in the dirt. They're the ones. And when you send the National Guard down there, the idea is and the theory is it frees them up to put more boots on the ground. Mm-hmm. Customs agents don't go out and about. Customs agents stay put already. They're in charge of the ports of entry.
Right.
And they're in charge of the asylum interviews and all that stuff. That's what they do. The Border Patrol are the physical people.
What does it take to send, after they lift Prop Title 42, why would they, who are they going to be throwing out? Anybody? Because yesterday we went through all the new categories Biden created to allow legal aliens to be legal. There's a group that are pre-legalized before they get here. There's a group that are post-legalized after they get here. They've come up with new categories and new designations to whitewash the whole system. So what do you have to be to get thrown back?
Well, ultimately it boils down to a customs agent interviewing you and determining that you don't qualify for asylum. And I saw that the Biden administration is trying to add new language to policy that says that if you did not try to apply for asylum in the most neighboring country of your country, you will not qualify for asylum in the United States.
Yeah, you're supposed to register somewhere as you're heading to the U.S., right?
Internationally, that's what the asylum laws are supposed to be. And somehow we've never you know, held that.
So they're actually going to enforce that, or is that another cover story?
Last thing I heard from about the Biden administration is they were going to enforce that near countries, that you know, adjacent country rule, where, you know, because presumably asylum is if you're being, you know, chastised, or you're being ridiculed or whatever the case is, or violently threatened, you're supposed to go to the nearest safe country.
So theoretically, we shouldn't get anybody else from Guatemala, Honduras, or El Salvador, America, Venezuela, Colombia, all that stuff.
They should all be going to Mexico.
Right.
All right. Stand by. Steve is going to be talking to us when we return about a different story. We had him on a little while ago to talk about the problems with L.A. County's juvenile system. The story that Steve had then was attacks that were made on many of the employees at those facilities. The big story today is drug overdoses. We'll talk to him. John and Ken, KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
We're on the radio from 1 until 4, and then after 4 o'clock, you can hear everything you missed. John and Ken on Demand is the name of the podcast, so you can keep up with every minute of the show every day. Steve Gregory continues with us.
Yeah, about Los Angeles County's juvenile system, which is, of course, an incredible mess. And the last time we talked to him, workers were getting beaten up by some of the youth in these facilities. But now we have a death of an underage person that Steve can talk about and add more detail to.
Yeah, we just found out this morning. I had sources that reached out to tell me about the death of this 18-year-old last night. Apparently, one of eight overdoses last night at the Barry Nydorf Juvenile Hall.
The same place.
Seymour. Yes. Yeah. Wow. And apparently,
do we know if this was fentanyl or?
Yes, we do. According to my sources there. And, you know, as you mentioned, we broke this story on the show a couple weeks ago about the attacks and the fact that there's no recourse for these officers. They don't have the staffing anymore to go do the searches that they used to do. And if they go in and try to search someone's room and a juvenile complains about it, then they've got an attorney in there, and then it's a mess. And so today, this morning, they went in and found this 18-year-old unresponsive in his dorm room at this juvenile hall in Sylmar. And they applied Narcan, and it did not work, and he was pronounced dead. And they come to find out he was one of eight overdoses that had happened starting last night. Just in March, they found two large bundles of pills that were laced with fentanyl, and those were stuffed in under chairs. It's very clever. And this is part and parcel to the problem that the officers say they're having, because a lot of these people that are being let out early from prison, from the parole system, and put into the county probation system, they bring with them a lot of these skills on how to conceal and how to sneak things in and how to transport things illegally.
They ought to be doing body cavity searches.
Well, that's unconstitutional right now. all that
stuff. Well, I guess then the guys are going to die like this kid did.
Right. So that's the problem.
That's constitutional.
Now, what's on my Instagram at SteveGregory640, one of these sources had sent me a post already. It's a picture of the young man who was found dead this morning along with a friend of his. And somebody, it was a friend that posted this on their social media platform. And the wording underneath is, this is the fault of the L.A. County Probation Oversight Commission, the L.A. County Board of Supervisors, and weak probation management. Kid on the left is the minor who passed away, R.I.P. Brian.
Was this stuff brought in and they knew it was fentanyl? Or they were taking another kind of pill and they didn't know there was fentanyl laced in it?
That I don't know. And that's the scary part about it. And as everyone on this station has been talking about consistently, that's the danger in this particular drug, is it might present itself as a simple, club drugs, simple mollies.
Like ecstasy.
That stuff too. Yeah. But for some reason, they're packing it with that fentanyl because it's cheaper. And in small quantities, you get that high. The problem is, even the smallest of quantities of fentanyl can be fatal. And so a lot of times when these pill mills are churning out these drugs, they have no sense of how strong that stuff is in these pills. They're just mixing it and putting it out.
What happened to the other seven that overdosed?
I'm told that that was the only death. Now, this,
right. Did they all get Narcan or?
I'm getting stuff starting to drip in slowly here for me on this information. And perhaps after this live hit, I'll get some more. But just in February, there were two other overdoses, and they survived. They were able to get them to the hospital. And then, as I mentioned, in March, during a random search, they were able to find two big bundles of these pills that look like Skittles or M&Ms.
How connected is all of this to the fact that they want to close down the whole juvenile system in L.A. County? I mean, that's kind of been the goal.
Yeah, are they trying to make,
they want to get rid of these facilities, right?
Because make it so inhumane there. With everyone assaulting the probation
dying from drug overdoses. Time to give up on this, right?
Yeah, the public will throw up its hands and say, fine, you will close it.
Now, again, the source I spoke with on tape that I played on the show here, part of that theory, that prevailing theory among all the probation officers that I've spoken with, is this is a slow process of the Board of Supervisors completely doing away with the probation's part of enforcement in these juvenile halls in favor of this youth commission, this new LA County Youth Commission that's going to be the kind of hands-off approach, the hugs and kisses approach. That's kind of what's going on here. And the fact that the county sort of defied an order from the state to close down and said, man, we're going to give it another 30 days and see how it goes. And this is look what's happening in the 30-day window, and then they're going to reevaluate. But to your question, when I speak to these sources, they tell me this is all part of a master plan to eradicate the child probation / detention system as we know it in favor of a new youth hands-off approach that'll be filled with NGOs and all these other nonprofits.
All right, Steve, thank you very much for that update.
Got it, guys.
Hi, Steve Gregory, about fentanyl overdoses in a juvenile facility in L.A. County, which is supposedly winding down operations. And again, John, this is part of the idea of alternatives to incarceration, right?
No, it's to get
even the youngsters that commit some horrendous crimes should not be detained in any way.
No, it's just abolishing it, abolishing incarceration, abolishing consequences.
The alternative is mental health. Care.
Oh, that there's no such thing.
Psychologists.
They don't do any. They don't. No, they're giving up. It's anything goes. No consequences. I'm not fooled by their euphemisms.
We got more coming up, including another tech guy who died. This one in Santa Monica. They found his body in the courtyard of an abandoned property. He disappeared in November of 2021. We'll get more on the story from Blake Trolley, KFI News. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity. It's designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals to help cover unexpected expenses, plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. In other words, it's like getting a paycheck for life. We'll say that again. A paycheck for life. Guaranteed. Sounds too good to be true? It's not. It's the Parity Flex annuity. And it's one more example of their commitment to creating a better financial future for women. One where they feel empowered, not excluded, and ready to take on whatever their next chapter holds. Gainbridge believes financial flexibility and security are things we all could use more of. At retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Who's with us? Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Please visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Trump has responded. I don't know who this woman is. That is his response to the decision by a civil jury in New York City to award E. Jean Carroll nearly $5 million.
There's photos of them together.
I don't know who this woman is, and he is appealing.
I'm looking at a photo. They're staring at each other, and Donald's standing next to Ivana.
Oh, well. That's Trump for you.
You know, enough.
And, of course, he claims it's done by a Democrat city full of Trump haters. It was all rigged, this trial. You know, rigged.
There has got to be, there must be, I am asking the world here, two new candidates, not Trump and Biden.
There's so many people candidates who agree with you. Every poll says,
well,
not again.
Yeah, I mean, most people don't want Trump on his side. Most people don't want Biden on his side. Well, then let's vote for other people in these primaries. Other people have to run.
And it's all rigged by the parties.
Come on. You know, there's recent precedent for this. Remember when, you know, we thought we were going to have another Bush-Clinton race?
Yeah.
And we ended up with only half of that, and then Trump took care of Hillary Clinton. You don't have to have these people anymore. There's no law that says we got to have Joe Biden, Donald Trump as the two candidates.
All right. Also, coming up in the next segment, we'll bring you another piece of breaking news this afternoon. Tucker Carlson will be back with a live show on Twitter. How's that? We'll tell you more about that coming up in about 10 minutes. Right now, we have a bizarre story of another tech person whose body has been found. This man disappeared back in November of 2021. The CEO of something called Sober Grid, which was an app to help people connect and they have problems staying sober, a digital health app. The founder's name is Bo Mann. We're going to bring on Blake Trolley from KFI News with more about what happened then and what we know now.
So, Blake, this guy calls for an Uber ride and then disappears.
Yeah, guys, there's a lot of mystery surrounding this case. The last place Bo Mann was seen was at a 7-Eleven in Studio City back in 2021. This was not a late-night Uber ride. This was not a 1, 2 a.m. Uber ride. This was a 2 p.m., so broad daylight Uber ride. Surveillance video picks him up buying a few items, including ice. He then, according to records, gets into an Uber. Information shows he's dropped off in Santa Monica, but that is essentially where he disappears. The LAPD has confirmed in an interview last year that a 911 text was made shortly after he left that 7-Eleven. And to give you guys just a map here, that 7-Eleven is in Studio City. So this would have been a ride from Studio City to Santa Monica. And again, the last place he was seen was the, you know, the surveillance video or the footage from that 7-Eleven.
What's the 911 content?
Yeah, a 911 text from the Uber?
I'm trying to get more information on that. I've actually reached out to LAPD for that. There hasn't been a whole lot released on that. I'm also trying to figure out because, as officers say, they tried to, you know, contact him after he made that initial contact to 911. They say that nobody responded. So I've, you know, since asked, well, what exactly did you do? Did you trace the phone? I want to know exactly what.
Did they track the Uber driver?
So just to push this forward, guys, you know, that again, that's really where the last of anybody had seen Bo Mann. His family is worried about foul play. They say, especially given the fact that he was buying ice, that has them thinking he was definitely planning to go home. Now, Bo Mann's fiance, who lives in Michigan, he filed the first missing persons report after a few days of not being able to get a hold of the man. They were in a distance relationship, like most distant relationships, of course. They're sending texts. They're making phone calls. He had last spoke with man the night before man disappeared. So after a few days go by, man's fiance files a missing persons report with the LAPD, sends man's assistant with an officer to man's apartment, and man was not found until, of course, a few days ago, his remains, or I should say last month, his remains were found at an abandoned property in Santa Monica. I want to go to Bite One. Santa Monica Police Lieutenant Erica Kluvi gave us details about that discovery.
It was a skeleton, and they were located. It's an interesting property. It's a pretty large property that's all abandoned. On the Santa Monica side, it's storefronts that are not occupied. And then in the back area off of an alley that runs north of Santa Monica Boulevard, like parallel to it, there's an apartment building, a very small apartment building, and then some bungalows in the back and some other outbuildings that create a courtyard. And it's got, you know, greenery around it. So it's nothing's visible from the outside looking into it. And again, it's all been fenced off since it's been abandoned. But his remains were found inside that courtyard area.
All right, but he calls an Uber, and then he's texting 911 inside the Uber. So they must have talked to the driver. Why did he feel in danger while he was being driven?
And that's what I'm trying to figure out. I know his fiance has, you know, he has his suspicions about that Uber driver or about that Uber ride. I want to go to Bite 2. Kluvi says detectives, they're going to be looking into that Uber ride.
We're going to be looking into every single avenue. And that's one of the lines of investigation that our detectives will go down, along with anything else that might pop up in the intervening time. We will make sure to exhaust whatever information that we have.
So it seems like his body was dumped there, and that whoever dumped it knew that was an abandoned area and that nobody was going to find the body for a long time.
You know, one of the things I wonder is how nobody spotted it, though, given the fact that there were apartments and bungalows. I guess, you know, at the end of the day, all of it, as she said, was abandoned and was fenced off.
Well, did they tell you where the remains were specifically? Were they at
yeah, they
a
were
site?
In the courtyard. So that property that she was describing with the storefront, they were in kind of a grassy area, you know, so it sounds like there was some growth because, again, this is an abandoned property in the courtyard and his remains were there. Now, I did reach out to Uber about that ride. Uber says the trip ended with no incident reported to Uber. They said their record showed the driver immediately picked up the next rider. They're deferring any other details to law enforcement. But as you heard right there from Santa Monica police, they are going to be looking in to that Uber ride. But again, guys, just a lot of mystery, you know, on this whole case.
And
one thing that I've thought about is, you know, I know his family is pointing to the fact that he was buying ice and, you know, that points to him going home. But that was Studio City. He lives in Brentwood. So that, you know, that is still a little bit of a ride. And that to me at least adds a little bit of mystery there. And I think there's just so many questions to have answered. I think part of the issue with this investigation is that they did find these remains as skeletal. He was ID'd by dental records. So again, there's no body to really show, you know, any sort of trauma or, you know, anything of that nature.
Well, so whoever dumped the body knew that would be a perfect place that no one was going to find for quite some time.
And one thing to point out, too, guys, is that the investigation, as Santa Monica Police it described to me, has just begun. Essentially, you know, they have this record that he was dropped off in Santa Monica and hadn't been heard from. But as it's been described to me, now that the remains were found, now the investigation really kicks in. But again, as you say, John, yeah, dropped off in an area, of course, where nobody saw him for, you know, now we're going on almost 2 years. It's been quite some time, and I think that's going to definitely add some challenges, given that this was a skeleton. I saw one interview. Somebody said that they saw people taking the remains away, folding the body bag, meaning, you know, this had to have been just down to its skeletal remains. Yeah. But a lot of questions.
Yeah.
All right, Blake. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Blake Trolley, KFI News, covering the latest story of a tech exec. Probably murder. This is a man by the name of Bowman, who was the CEO of something called SoberGrid, which was a health app for people suffering from sobriety issues with drugs and alcohol. Don't know whether or not it was connected to that at all or what, but he disappeared near the end of 2021. They just found his body a month or so ago in Santa Monica in an abandoned building area. More coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Coming up after 3 o'clock, Alex Stone again. Is this right? Alex Stone.
Oh, there's an update. A big update.
Oh, there is an update. A big update on
Yeah. A lot more information came out about the shooter in Texas.
Okay.
All right. Yes. You're not reading some old story. Right?
Yeah. I thought maybe.
No, there's more on his ID. His background that came out.
Oh, I thought I had yesterday's sheets mixed up with today's sheets, so.
No. Stories do have updates, John, sometimes. Yes.
Well, thank you very much.
Although, you know, your rule is we should wait 3 days on anything, so we shouldn't talk about anything for 3 days until we know really.
You can talk about it. I don't believe anything for 3 days.
Oh, okay. That's a good point. We have a bit of breaking news this afternoon. We've been following the saga of Fox News and Tucker Carlson, who they let go a couple of weeks ago. And he made an announcement today. Here is a part of the announcement.
As of tonight, there aren't many platforms left that allow free speech. The last big one remaining in the world, the only one, is Twitter, where we are now. Twitter has long served as the place where our national conversation incubates and develops. Twitter is not a partisan site. Everybody's allowed here, and we think that's a good thing. And yet, for the most part, the news that you see analyzed on Twitter comes from media organizations that are themselves thinly disguised propaganda outlets. You see it on cable news. You talk about it on Twitter. The result may feel like a debate, but actually the gatekeepers are still in charge. We think that's a bad system. We know exactly how it works, and we're sick of it. Starting soon, we'll be bringing a new version of the show we've been doing for the last 6.5 years to Twitter. We'll be bringing some other things too, which we'll tell you about. But for now, we're just grateful to be here. Free speech is the main right that you have. Without it, you have no others. See you soon.
Probably not a surprise then. Elon Musk taking over Twitter and, of course, making a lot of noise about the lack of free speech and Probably aligning more with Tucker Carlson's opinions on a number of issues. So,
how does a long-form video program work on Twitter?
Look at that. Eric Sklar is here to explain our Duke of Sports.
Well, Duke of Twitter here.
Yes, Duke of Twitter here.
So basically, you can subscribe to Twitter Blue, which is the new subscription service that Elon doled out once he took over Twitter and bought it and all of that. And basically, once you subscribe to Twitter Blue, pay the, I think it's like $9.99 a month or whatever it is, you can post videos up to about 60 minutes long, or the file size has to be about 2 gigabytes. So it can be longer than 60 minutes as long as the file size is under 2 gigabytes. So my guess is here, Tucker has enough money to hire a staff, build a studio, create a show. He can post that video because he subscribes to Twitter, Twitter Blue. He can post that video as long as it doesn't go over the file size requirements, and it can be about a 60-minute video, 60-minute show.
Yeah, he has a studio in Maine. He's worked out of Maine for about 3 years, I think.
Yeah, so
Maine.
Down the block from his home. Yeah, he's almost never in New York or Washington.
Yeah, I wouldn't have picked Maine. Wow.
He lives out in the woods.
It's a little cold up there, yeah.
Yeah. So
Bernie Sanders.
He's got the studio, and he probably has a staff.
And Twitter has monetization on the site if you have a certain amount of followers and all of that type of stuff, meet a certain amount of requirements. And then obviously the Twitter Blue factors into, I think, being able to have more subscribers and all of that type of stuff and perks. So, yeah, he can just charge people a subscription fee monthly to subscribe to his Twitter account.
On top of the Twitter Blue fee.
Yeah. Well, he pays the Twitter Blue fee.
I see.
And then Twitter, like, people on Twitter can pay him to see the show.
So I wouldn't have to pay Twitter Blue to watch his show, but I would have to pay him to watch his show.
Yes.
I see.
Because as a subscriber, you can post different content for your subscribers and for your non-subscribers. So he could post the video and only his subscribers would see it. None of his non-subscribers would see it.
So it would look exactly like his Fox television show on a screen.
Realistically, yes.
Yeah, if he's doing it from the same studios. This is a stupid question, but understand I am I'm very primitive when it comes to understanding technology.
You said it, not
so,
me.
All right, you know, I am. But I could watch, if I wanted to watch him, I could watch him on the iPhone or the iPad. Could I work it on the smart TV? Is there a Twitter app for that?
I was going to say, yeah, probably if you have like a Google app on, like you could go to the internet on your smart TV.
Oh, right.
I don't think there's a Twitter app for smart TVs currently. But that could change.
Right. Okay.
And it probably will, considering
this
kind of investment.
That is going to be the new wave for, I think, a lot of personalities who don't want to put up with all the rules and the censorship and the nonsense.
Of networks and other employers.
Yeah. Right. I mean, nobody needs that.
Well, this will just make the Twitter followers who were used to the more progressive San Francisco bent to... have they been, Lee? I'm not keeping track. Are they losing a lot of Twitter people since Musk took over? And
I don't know.
I'm not sure.
I mean, he
about
fired that. Two-thirds of the staff.
Actually, it's up to 90%. The staff is now 10% of what it used to be.
Oh, it's only 10%?
10%, yeah. So what were they doing? They all worked in the censorship department.
Right, because I'm starting to read stories about other startups that are attracting people, other Twitter-like social media.
Yeah, it's a chicken and egg thing, because you could go to a startup, but then you'll have to have everybody else in the world go there too, otherwise you don't have an audience.
Yeah.
You know, you're posting to yourself.
There's one, what's the one I've been hearing about? Maybe Eric knows that they screen people to become is it called Blue Star, Blue something? Or no, not Blue. It's got some, it's been in the news a lot lately. And you're
Blue Sky.
Blue Sky, that's it, Blue Sky. Right. I heard that one is starting to gain some momentum.
There's another one called Mastodon. I see some journalists have announced they have, I mean, there's a lot of these little startups, but you need a critical mass to get an audience. Twitter still has the biggest audience.
All right, when we return, Alex Stone, John, will be returning to the John and Ken Show. There was an update today in the mass shooting that occurred in Texas over the weekend that killed 8 people. He'll give us the details. John and Ken, KFI, AM 640. We're live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
And Deborah Mark live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
Hey, you've been listening to the John and Ken Show. You can always hear us live on KFI AM 640, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday. And, of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and every body. The weather is getting warmer, and it's time to swap my winter layers for fun, vibrant, and cool clothing. With so many fun things happening this spring, like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, it's hard to find great-looking clothes that fit you just right. That's why I love JCPenney. JCPenney has so many stylish and comfortable options for so many different body types. I've been blown away by their selection, and everything hugs my body in all the right spots. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with style that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency, where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
If you're committed to living a healthier life, you might want to look into working herbs into your wellness routine. There's a reason people have trusted them for thousands of years. Nature's Way understands that nature is the ultimate problem solver, and they're constantly inspired by the power of nature. For example, their ginger root and slippery elm bark have been traditionally used for digestive support. And St. John's wort, holy basil, and ashwagandha can provide mood and stress support. And because Nature's Way sources from around the world and does a ton of comprehensive potency and quality testing in their state-of-the-art lab, you can be sure you're getting top-quality herbs. To learn more, visit naturesway.com.